Earlier this hour, novelist Michelle Wilgin looked back at the restaurant revolution of the 70s and 80s, the movement that created a new food language in America, centered on fresh, seasonal, local ingredients. One of the pioneers of that movement was Alice Waters, the founder of the legendary Berkeley, California restaurant Chez Panisse. Her passion today is educating the next generation in the principles of slow food living through her Edible Schoolyard project. We were curious to know what a novelist and a chef would talk about, so we got Michelle Wilgin and Alice Waters together for a conversation.
I was gratified to see, when I was thinking about you as an educator, to see that you had been a Montessori teacher, which just seems so right. And I was curious if the Montessori ideas still linger in your life, in your teaching, in its relationship to cooking.
Completely. I think I'm a Montessorian through and through. I didn't realize it when I left teaching and opened Chez Panisse, but I have been really influenced by her philosophy of teaching the whole child, you know, to the ideas of the education of the senses, that these are our pathways into our mind. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't been fine-tuned, we're only getting the sort of most elementary information into our heads. And when we become so sedentary and we aren't really smelling food, because we're not cooking food and we're not touching it, really. We're just opening the package and we're seeing things wrapped up and we want everything sanitary. And all of these things prevent us from that vital experience of discernment around smelling, around tasting, around seeing, around hearing.
I would love to hear a little bit more about your experiences with the Edible Schoolyard. I have to guess that perhaps you went into it with fairly clear ideas about children and eating and what they like and what they don't or what would interest them most. What do you think are the biggest satisfactions and challenges for you in that educator role?
Well, the greatest satisfaction is that it really works. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really works. I thought of the whole thing right away. I thought the garden should be the center of the school. The cafeteria should be a place of real learning. That the garden and the kitchen were not gardens and kitchens per se. They were labs for math and science and art and dramatic arts with the improvisational cooking in the kitchen. And so I saw them. I saw it in this very big way. So when I go to see the school now, and it's almost 20 years later, when I walk into that kitchen classroom and the kids are sitting around the table, and they're having these most amazing conversations about, I mean, it's an English class, and they were talking, they were trying to think of all the new words that they've learned from doing the cooking, like julienne and mirepoix and caramelization and slow roasting. And, I mean, I was just delighted to hear this and to know that it's going down very deep. Mm-hmm. These were eighth graders, and they were having a conversation that could have been had in the kitchen of Chez Panisse. Mm.
I love, though, that you're talking about the democratization of this, because I was also really interested in thinking about activism. And I'd come across that quote from Mario Salvio that was in 40 Years of Chez Panisse, which was that America is becoming ever more the utopia of sterilized and automated contentment. And you had talked about reaching for a different kind of contentment, maybe something that was a little bit more authentic or rough-hewn and more holistic, as we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I was interested in thinking about that because really, you know, activism is usually fed by a certain kind of discontent. And right. I just thought it was interesting that your activism was the search for contentment. And yet there's always that seed that comes from, you know, discontent with this current status quo.
Well, it certainly empowers it. Mm-hmm. I really was educated during the free speech movement in Berkeley, and so I believed that we could change the world. Mm-hmm. And when we stopped the war in Vietnam, I just thought, we can do anything. You know, and it's why I had the naivete to think I can run a restaurant and people are going to come. I just, if I serve really good food, they're going to be there. And in fact, when that started to happen, it just kept me going. And it was so positive. It wasn't against something. It was trying to win people over by feeding them something delicious and waking up their senses. And then they changed the way they wanted to live their lives. And I'm still in that place.
I think about that because, you know, there's the whole question of making this good food available to everybody and how difficult that can be to make that happen. And I often think about the same idea in terms of writing or literature, that we both sort of, you know, we exalt and devalue things like art and cooking at the same time. You know, we both say, well, cooking is a great thing, but then we look for all these other ways to avoid making sure that we have, that we protect our resources or that we can get good things to people. And, you know, the things that linger from one culture to another tend to be our art or our architecture. But then at the same time, somebody tries to make a living as an artist and it's almost impossible.
We have been deeply indoctrinated by a fast food culture. It's not just the food. It's the whole culture that's grown up around the values that are learned from the eating of fast food. We want our whole world to be fast, cheap, and easy. It's very destructive what's gone on since Mario Savio was talking about it in the 60s, because we are really being manipulated in a way that has made us sick and addicted. And I think the only way out of that is, you know, with a delicious revolution.
You know, what's funny is that I think the one part of it that doesn't seem like it's often been part of American culture is the whole centerpiece of what you were describing, which is the idea of pleasure. You know, there's the old Puritan idea.
That's true.
We want individuality and hard work and all these things, but we forget about pleasure. So no wonder we need a reminder.
Absolutely. But, I mean, these are values that have been really with us since the beginning of time. I was lucky that I discovered them when I went to France when I was 19. And that culture was a kind of slow food culture. They had 2 hours for a school lunch. They went to the farmer's market twice a day. I think these ideas are so enticing, I would say, that when you're living in a fast food culture that is always trying to cut off, deaden the conversation with music, or just feeding you so many French fries that you can't think anymore, or, you know, it's just a whole other way. And people are wanting the interconnection. I think they're wanting real food.
Michelle Wilgen, talking with Alice Waters, the chef, author, and owner of Chez Panisse Restaurant in Berkeley, California. She's one of the best-known food activists in the world and creator of the Edible Schoolyard Project.